Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Sie führen täglich hitzige Fußballdebatten? Dann probieren Sie jetzt die Big Mac-Methode. Denn nur beim Big Mac sind sich alle einig. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Die Big Mac-Methode funktioniert auch mit dem Double Big Mac und Big Mac Bacon TS. Schlichte Diskussionen über Handspiel, Abseits, Videobeweis, Aufstellung, Taktik und Auswechslungen. Bei Ineffektivität wird keine Haftung übernommen. In allen teilnehmenden Restaurants. Nur solange der Vorrat reicht.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI. Aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Hello, I'm Krupa Bhatti, and welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. In BBC OS Conversations, we bring people together to share their experiences. This time, after the recent European parliamentary elections, it's people who voted for political parties on the far right. As elections led European politics to shift more to the right this week, we've been hearing from French, Italian and Swedish supporters on what informs their votes and the hostility their views sometimes encounter.
We were even called like Nazis and people calling us racist and everything. And still it's in the parliament we had close to a fifth of the voters voting for us. The party talks about issues that others don't really dare to talk about, such as immigration.
Far-right parties had reason to celebrate several successes at the recent European parliamentary elections, coming top in countries such as Italy and Austria, and second in Germany, the most populous country in the European Union. The next major power on the continent is France, and the outcome there really did shake things up. The anti-immigration party, known as Rassemblement National or National Rally, got more than double the votes over Emmanuel Macron's centrist alliance. The president immediately said that national politics needed clarity around what people wanted and announced a snap election for the country to take place in a few weeks. For our first conversation, my colleague James Reynolds spoke to two National Rally supporters. Tony is originally from France but lives now in the UK, and business owner Yannick is from the south of France.
My life is okay. I'm working a lot. Like most of the time, I work a lot, paying a huge tax in France. If you are kind of lucky to have a nice place to live and a good area to live, you don't face so many problems. But if you go to some city, some big city with your family, with your friend, you begin to be worried about what can happen in the street. You have to take a look at what is around you now in France. If you have an argument with someone in the street, you cannot do like before and just fix the problem with war, then it will be fine. Now you kind of scared maybe someone can have a knife or anything bad can happen in life, like in France. We don't feel secure like before, I think, now.
Have you felt threatened yourself personally? And if so, by who?
It's a general atmosphere because we are facing a kind of weak government. Like everyone feel like nothing will happen if they do bad things. Like, for example, I'm owning a company. People are coming to my stores. I have two stores and one website, but they are coming to the stores, stealing in the stores, and nothing really happened to them. I'm the one to work. My employee works. They are shocked because people are coming to steal in my boutique, for example. And when you go to the police station, you will lose a lot of time. And the cops and us knows at the end, nothing will happen for the one steal. So this feeling for this particular problem is the same for all the problem in France, like the drugs, the insecurity, the criminality, this kind of steal thing, the people get robbed in the house. We feel like we're so passive in France, nothing happened, and always the good people are getting in trouble and the bad, not so much.
Thanks, Yannick. Let's bring in Tony. And I know you're here in the UK, but France is your country. Yes. What's on your mind?
I'm hopeful, to be honest. I've been in the UK for 9 years and I'm a dual citizen, but obviously I'm still very much attached to France. And it's good to see things are finally happening. I think, as Yannick said, you know, in the UK, there's a big focus on numbers. It's all about bringing numbers of net migration down. In France, the numbers are much lower, but it's after many, many years of accumulated migration like this. And the focus is actually more on the consequences of immigration. We have a lot of issues with criminality. We have a lot of issues with deportation orders that are not actually carried out, for example. And people have been fed up for many years. But I think what's happened is that now it's reached a point where immigration and problems that comes with it have reached a certain degree of importance that they're willing to actually put parties that want to do something about it in power.
In your life between France and the UK, how has immigration affected that?
When I lived in France, I mean, I come from a pretty poor family, and I went through the public education system, and I went to university, and I lived in some pretty terrible places, you know, east of Paris and where I come from in southeast of France. And you can really feel the effects of migration. When I was in student accommodation, I had a guy that was just released from prison that came to my flat that tried to kick the door in and was telling me that he was going to kill me, for example, because I refused to donate some money for his dodgy ex-convict charity. That was someone that obviously came from a migrant background. I used to go to work always carrying a knife and a pepper spray on the train. It's quite common for people to carry a little knife, a kind of utility knife, really, with them in front.
I have the same. Like, I have the bomb of spray because I don't know if it's really legal. It depends on the one you have. But now many people, they even go to make the license to have some weapon because people get scared. We have so many problems in France, and we saw so many things, crazy things happening in the streets. Like, yeah, like Tony, we think about to defend ourselves and our family by ourselves because we have the feeling like no one defends us now in the streets. So it's kind of weird. So we try to avoid the problem, but it's good to be ready if something happens. You have to defend yourself now.
And looking more widely, Yannick, I know you spoke to one of our team members and you said that people who voted for the Rassemblement National were always looked down on, called idiots, called racists. Mm-hmm. Did that ever happen to you?
Yeah, yesterday. I have one friend, she knows me since a long time, and insult the people who vote for Front National on Instagram. And I told her, try to understand and listen, people. 33% of the electors vote for Front National. Do you think 33% are racists? Maybe some small percentage are racist, maybe, like in every part of the population. But stop it, that's crazy and stupid. It's impossible to have 33% of the people vote that they are racist. So it was working before. It was the way for the kind of left side of the politics to fight against Front National. But now we can see so many people can talk be free about this and talk and explain what they think and have nothing racist, just cannot close the eyes and be blind in front of what they see every day. And even people from the, for example, the immigration are saying the same. Like I have some close friends, they say the same. It's not about racist, it's about what we see in the street and we just describe what we see.
Tony, here in the UK, have the same words been used of you?
Yes, but not as much. I mean, you know, when you've got that great number of people that vote for the RN in France, obviously a lot of people will actually agree with you when you're in France. And we tend to have a bit of a distorted view here because the people you hear in the media and, you know, the experts and all of that that you talk to, they would be, in fact, of a minority in France. Most people actually would think the same, but there is a certain taboo about it and people don't really talk about it as openly as they might do about other political opinions. But yeah, it has happened. It has happened, yeah.
What about your friends and family, Tony? Do you share political views with them?
I mean, obviously, I live in the UK, so people are not necessarily tuned in to the various political parties in France and all that. But they know that I've got strong kind of conservative views on immigration, for example. So it's part of a kind of healthy discussion with people. And I've never had any issue with that, really.
My family and close friend, most of them, they share the same than me. Some of my family people before, they think it was crazy to vote for Marine Le Pen at the time, for example. But now they change and now they understand and vote the same. And support them and try to make the adjustment of her. Yeah, I think now it's obvious, like nothing crazy happened about this person in the Rassemblement National. And yeah, we are, especially in my area, we are a lot to share this idea.
Yannick, what kind of France would you like to see? And in particular, as a shop owner, what would you like your life to be like?
For me, I think the most important, even if you have some economy problem or the problem you want, first is to feel safe in your country. Like the bad people, make them aware of the society and let the good people to be nice, the family to be able to go in the city and the family where, whenever they come from, we don't care. But just we want people feel free to come, visit our country, feel nice. Don't see people, so many people still making problem, be impolite and making criminality. This is the most important. After the economy is something else, you have to have specialists. There is a lot of problem. For example, in France, I'm owner of company, I'm paying crazy taxes. I don't really understand. And okay, I'm French, I pay, but if I pay this, I want the street to be secure. I want the family to be happy, the kids to feel free, the people, young people for 14, 15, 16, to don't be able to be stabbed by someone. That's impossible. We cannot accept this anymore. So yeah, first is the security for me.
Similarly, really, we just want basic state safety, you know, but basic rules being followed, you know, crack down antisocial behavior. There's really an issue with, it's always the same people that commit the same crimes over and over again. We've got an enormous backlog of deportation orders that are just not carried out, for example. And the Interior Ministry ministers keep saying that, you know, he's trying to carry out these deportations, but the home countries for these people just don't want to take them back, for example. We've got to find a solution because we can't have people that, you know, they've been to court, they've been through a legal system. The legal system has decided that they should not be there and they're there illegally. And yet they just stay on that list for many, many years. Absolutely nothing happens. We need to have a system where the judicial is actually followed by actions.
Tony, to my understanding, you're speaking about criminality, and you have been, and saying that a lot of those criminals come from one background. But more widely, when we look at migration, do you know people who are migrants in France, and what are your conversations like with them?
I am technically a migrant to the UK, so yeah, of course, I'm very familiar with migration. I know people who are migrants in France. Of course, it's very difficult not to. I mean, you would need to, wherever you live, really, you would be in contact with people from all over the world. I do feel that we need to look at demographics. It's also important. I think in Western Europe in general, it's the case in the UK as well, but there has been an increase in numbers of people that are coming in. And there is an issue with the quality of people we let in. It's particularly the case in the UK in recent years, but it's also been the case in France. And I think this is something that people feel strongly about as well. It is not just about criminality. It's also about demographics and what do we want our country to be in the future.
You know, now what is crazy is like even the migrant from the last two generations have some problem with the new migrants. Like now we have the people coming to the south of France by the Italy without paper, and they make crazy problem to even the people living in this kind of area where there is a lot of migrants and a lot of criminality. The people I know there, they say they have to fight against them, and they are from the same place, same religious. But also because the new one don't take the same way to live makes problem and huge problem. I don't know if you see some video running on Telegram, but they fight, they fire on each other, they get undressed by the other team. Things are really crazy. Yeah, the migrant from one or two generations who are happy to live in France, love France, feel the same than us.
Let's say you could have a conversation with someone who's just arriving. What would you tell them about France that you think they should know?
First of all, I will try to tell them, learn about France, be respectful about France, be grateful for what France can give to you, and don't expect from France, give to France first, and France will give you back. Like I will say the same to Tony going in UK. I'm sure the way he talks is someone really nice, polite, respect a lot your country, and will make some business there or do some job there, but always respect your country and never make problem. Also, I will give some advice to how to live, where to go, when to go or not go in some area. Yeah, don't think France is same than 40 years ago when it was everything about peaceful romanticism. And I hope France can still keep like this, but we have to be careful now. France is not like before. It's still beautiful. It can be still amazing country, but we have to take some precaution now when we are in France.
Yannick and Tony on why they are backing the National Rally Party in the upcoming French elections. You heard them talk about crime and violent crime. However, despite a perception linking migration and criminality, research commissioned by the French government and published last year found immigrants are not the cause of an increase in crime rates. Other research shows that in isolated incidents where immigrants are overrepresented in crime statistics, petty crime in particular, is typically a consequence of poverty and barriers to jobs. Tony also spoke about deportations. 17,000 people were deported in 2023. That's lower than before the pandemic, which restricted movement, of course, but a 10% increase from 2022. And recently, the government introduced a new immigration law, which they described as the toughest ever seen in France. I'm Krupa Bhatti, and you're listening to BBC OS Conversations from the BBC World Service.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
I'm Krassi Twig from the Global Jigsaw podcast, where we are asking, is the Islamic State group a threat once more? 10 years since they declared the establishment of a caliphate, the jihadists are claiming to be behind a spate of recent terror attacks.
You cannot ignore the danger of IS. When you're not looking, they will rebound and regroup.
The Global Jigsaw from BBC Monitoring looks at the world through the lens of its media. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
About half of those who are eligible to vote in the European elections did so, which meant around 180 million votes across 27 countries. And it should be noted that centre-right parties remain the biggest group in the EU Parliament, while parties on the left also made gains. Our next conversation takes us to Italy and Sweden. In Italy, voters continue to back Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. She has moved to soften the stance of her Brothers of Italy party, with it now talking about protecting its borders. Sweden, on the other hand, was one of the few countries in Europe to see far-right votes go down, although the Sweden Democrats remain popular among young people and are still the second largest party in government. My colleague Andrew Peach spoke to two women in their 20s, Christina Stockberg, who lives in a rural part of western Sweden, and Cecilia Carapelese, who lives in the Italian capital of Rome.
I'm 29 years old. I graduated in international relations. And as I was 20, I work in different areas. For instance, the volunteering one, but also to more political international level. In fact, I was in the National Youth Council, which is in Europe in particular as a very relevant position in terms of realizing some policies sure. that can help youth, both at national and also international and European level.
You're obviously very well employed, nicely set up, but you know people yeah. who are your kind of age in their 20s who are struggling to find the right job.
Yes, I have friends that have to change job even in 1 year for two or three times. There's a sort of difficulty in a sort of stability of the work. Eventually, they find a job, but they are in constant change. So maybe this is the difficulty that we experience here in Italy, the stability of work during the last 2 years.
And Christina, tell me a bit more about your circumstances in your life as a 21-year-old woman.
Yeah, so I live in a countryside in a small village pretty close to Norway. A lot of people work in industries as well as in healthcare, with forests as well. And what we can see is it's becoming more and more expensive to live a daily life. The food prices are going up, the petrol is really expensive, and we don't have a lot of public transport. So we really rely on being able to commute to work. And that's definitely a growing issue. I'm also a bit involved politically, locally in the county council. And we can see also how the EU really reflects. There are, I think, about 70% of all the things that come to the county council are because of the EU. So it's really impactful.
And what about things like housing and employment and those things that are so important at your kind of age?
Well, we see how it's becoming more and more expensive, especially in the bigger cities. In the countryside, it's still less expensive, but we see how there are growing problems of basically the countryside is slowly dying in Sweden as it's difficult to find jobs and it's difficult to keep the villages alive, basically, because a lot of people are moving to the cities.
And therefore, it's not so much that there's too much pressure on housing, it's that everyone's trying to leave where you are because there's not enough employment.
Exactly, and just because people don't really see a future there, I would say.
Give me a sense of why you think the Sweden Democrats are the answer to young people fleeing the rural place where you live and heading for the big cities. What will they do to change that?
I would say they care a lot about common people, like your average Swede living on the countryside, having not a very high paid job. So what they strive for is basically that every person, rich or poor, should be able to lead a fulfilling life in Sweden, even in the countryside, even in the north of Sweden, where the closest city is 2 hours away. And I feel like they are the only party, really, that they are actually working for that, because we see now the very, very high petrol prices that have been, food pricing is going up, the countryside is really starting to suffer and people are leaving. So they really try to make something about that. And we can see now with the government, they lowered the price a lot for diesel, for example. So it's starting, but it's a long way to go.
Would it be fair to say, Christina, that you believe the European Union isn't helping, that the European Union isn't going to cure the problems that you're describing to us?
No, exactly. I feel as though the EU has a sense of one size fits all. And Sweden is very different in a lot of ways. We're very environmental friendly and so on, our industry as well. And we see how EU is trying to meddle more and more and not seeing that things are working really good here already. And we know better how to fix our issues in Sweden than, for example, Italy or Spain would know. Sweden should be influenced more and decided more the future by Sweden.
Cecilia, this sounds to me like something you're going to agree with from your Italian perspective. You want Italians to make the decisions about your country rather than it being done on a more continent-wide basis.
Well, you know, Italy, in terms of European Union, in terms of its relevance at a continental level, I think it's a model. I don't know if there will be a change, but I'm very confident to have a change in this context.
Is it a popular view to vote for Brothers of Italy among people of your age? When you tell people that that's how you voted in the European elections or that's the party that you support, what kind of reaction do you get from your friends?
Brothers of Italy is extremely close to the youth needs. When I'm talking with my friends, they often say, oh, cool, great, let's see if Brothers of Italy is working well. And yeah, the answer is mostly yes. And also, I think that a very important issue is the figure of Giorgia Meloni itself, because especially for young women, she is a model because she's the one that counts in the government. She's the head of the state. And so she's a very important model for all the young ladies, all the young women that want to create something, that want to change in something in the world.
I know Giorgia Meloni wanted her own name on the ballot papers in Italy for exactly the kind of personal reasons that you're setting out. Christina, in Sweden, is supporting a right-wing party as a young woman something that you can be proud to tell people you know, or something you keep to yourself?
Well, since I'm politically involved, pretty much everyone around me already know. But there has been people distancing themselves from me, even childhood friends, for example, because the truth is it still remains a big stigma for the Sweden Democrats, especially, and especially amongst young women in the cities. But we can see it slowly changing, but there's still a very big stigma.
Describe how the stigma plays out in what people would say to you.
Well, talking to voters on the square, we were even called like Nazis and people calling us racist and everything. And still it's in the parliament, we had close to a fifth of the voters voting for us in the last elections. It's a very strange situation, I would say. And it's a lot to do. I think the party talks about issues that others don't really dare to talk about, such as immigration, for example.
Is that something that's important to you in terms of wanting immigration numbers to be lower?
Definitely, because we see it has a strong connection with the growing safety issues in Sweden, where young women don't dare to walk the streets after it turns dark. It's a very big and current issue.
That's interesting. Is that true for you, Cecilia, in Italy as well?
Yes, there are different studies that underline that focus on the relation between immigration and crime, but there is not only this reason. Also, the Italian government wants to improve the connection between the countries there are from. And I think it's one of the most important things. For instance, the African countries, the African states need to be helped. So the immigration, you know, is not the result, but it's just a consequence of a good help to the other countries that are more in need. Rather than the European one.
And Christina, in Sweden, when you turn on the news today and find out that you're part of a movement, if you like, in many countries across Europe, there's been an increase in support for right-wing parties, particularly among young voters in different countries. How does that feel to hear that a lot of people clearly share the same sentiments that you've got?
It gives me a lot of hope. Hope that we can change this to something better. And stop the deadly violence in Sweden, stop the bombings. We have a long way to go, but I'm very hopeful for the future.
Christina Skogberg from Sweden and Cecilia Caraperellis in Italy. I'm Krupa Bhatti, and you've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Beim Big Mac sind sich alle einig. Schon probiert? Den legendären Big Mac gibt's jetzt in zwei weiteren Varianten. Den Double Big Mac für den doppelten Genuss und den Big Mac Bacon TS mit knusprigem Bacon. Nur für kurze Zeit und nur bei McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. In allen teilnehmenden Restaurants, nur solange der Vorrat reicht.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI for People.